So you were a trapper?
I was a government trapper for 12 years, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where were you kind of, just around here?
Worked right out of here. I covered a territory from Deer Isle to Milo and beyond.
Just doing...
And just basically removing nuisance animals,
yeah.
Mostly beaver.
Yeah.
For towns, for the paper companies, for individuals, for the MDOT,
stuff
like
that.
So, like I said, from Deer Isle to Sebec, down to Bar Harbor, all the way up to Milo, and out east on the Stud Mill Road.
Yeah.
For the paper companies.
So, how was living or having contact with rural Maine? How did it affect you? Kind of.
Yeah. Well, that's where I wanted to be. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking for. That kind of a life.
So you kind of just wanted to be around here and then work kind of out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. I moved here from Pennsylvania in 1967.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to come to Maine.
So what kind of attracted you to Maine? Was it just
when I was in high school?
Yeah.
I read a book. I don't know if you ever heard of an author named Louise Dickinson Rich.
I haven't, no.
Okay, she wrote a book called We Took to the Woods.
Yeah.
And it was a factual account of her life. And they lived in Lake Umbagog over there near the New Hampshire border.
Yeah.
And she married a guy who worked in the woods, and they literally lived in the woods. And her account of how they lived winter and summer was just fascinating to me. And I came here from Erie, Pennsylvania, so a huge difference.
Yeah.
So that's why I came to Maine.
Just to kind of get away
because
from
it. Because I liked the sound of everything and stuff like that, and never regretted the choice.
So were you just, did you come directly to this area, or did you just...
We came from, I married a girl from southeast Pennsylvania. Yeah. I lived in northwest Pennsylvania. She lived in southeast Pennsylvania. We met while I was in the Coast Guard, and we moved up here to go to work for someone she knew who was a carpenter.
Yeah.
And he had been there, you know, we knew each other. So that's why we moved here. But we moved to this area because I got a job with IBM, and this is where the job was. It was in Bangor. So that would happen in 1968 or 69, something like that.
So how far up north have you been trapping? Did you ever go up there on, like, personal trips or, like, with the family?
I did trapping around here personally.
Yep.
But the government trapping was never that far north. I take that back. I used to go up to almost Aroostook County.
Yeah. So did you ever have like family go with you, like any personal experience?
I wasn't allowed to.
No.
The government wouldn't let me take anybody in the truck.
No.
Couldn't even take a dog.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty
strict.
Pretty strict about stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so how did it really affect your family much, or?
No, I don't think so. Would you say, Julie?
Yeah, it did affect your family to come here.
Oh.
Absolutely. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
To bring up his kids in the woods.
Oh, yeah. No.
He was the scout leader for your troop. When was he the scout leader for your troop?
I don't remember that at all. We'd have to look that up. Matthew was probably 11 years old, so that would be 66, 67, and I think I was Scoutmaster for 5 or 6 years, so somewhere in there.
Wow, I didn't really know that you were.
Yeah, it was way
awesome.
Back, way, way back.
Yeah.
And then met his son, he brought, I'm his second wife.
Yeah.
And he brought Matthew up so that he slept in the woods at age 3, outside the tent. And now he owns a set of sporting camps in Malunkus, and he's a Maine guide and has taken over his
trapping
territory.
He's also does the same thing I did.
Wow.
And sometimes
with the government.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And his other son, Josh, is the captain,
chief of police.
Chief of police in Orono.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
we met when Matthew was in school.
Yeah. We were just friends. But anyways, we met outside in a hiking program.
Yeah.
I ran an outdoor. Where'd you go to middle school?
Dedham Elementary.
Okay. Orrington had a Woods and Water Survival Program, and I was the second originator of that. And we ran a co-ed backpacking program on the Appalachian Trail. So he and I ran Appalachian Trail trips for 25 years through Orrington, and then I went to John Baptist. So
yep.
We did them there.
We did them for incoming freshmen for quite a few years.
Yeah, so his choice to move to the woods is huge. We're very much into self-sustaining. We try to grow most of our vegetables. We have animals for manure. We have chickens for eggs.
Wow.
We're very much outside.
So you guys kind of, you came up here just to get away from everything and be a part of this.
Yeah, this appealed to me. This way of life, the way that lady described it in her book, really attracted me up here.
Wow.
And I haven't been disappointed, as I said.
So what would your favorite outdoor main activity be?
It would be trapping.
It was?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, like I said, I trapped on my own for a long time as a recreational trapper.
Yeah.
And had a blast. My son does it all winter long.
I've been with him.
Yeah.
You know, tons of winter gear, survival gear with you. You go out on the ice, you have to chop a hole in the ice this big.
Yeah.
You have to find where they think the beaver are swimming, when the feed bed
to the house they live
to
in.
To the house.
Yeah. Because they don't come up from underneath the ice all winter long.
So they're killer traps, and they skin the beavers. I can do that too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And stretch out the skins on a board, and they sell them to the fur market. And the biggest fur market is Europe, but the next biggest one is Canada.
Wow.
And Matt, what's the highest amount you've ever gotten like a super blanket, like the biggest beaver? Some of the beaver weigh 50 and 55 pounds.
Wow.
Like a little dog.
That size years ago would be, I don't know, 40, 50 bucks.
Yep.
Right now, beaver prices are way down.
Are they?
But other fur-bearing animals are way up. It's what Europe wants. See, there's not much of a market for raw furs in the United States, because a lot of people say they wouldn't touch them anyway.
But now, Europe is a prime market. Surprising fact that I didn't know. I figured that they made coats like the 1800s.
Yeah.
But they also grind up the beaver skins and make felt hats.
Yeah.
You know those waterproof hats?
Yeah.
The water drips off.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what drove the opening up of the West back in the 1800s. A lot of beaver out there. Guys went out and trapped them. It wasn't for the coats. It all went to Europe, and they made felt hats out of it in Europe.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what funded that whole operation.
Wow. So you were a recreational trapper just by yourself for how long before you became part of
it? Well, I started trapping when I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I trapped not every year, but pretty much every year for a long time. And I got
59 years.
Pardon?
Wow. 59 years.
59 years is really. got the government job because the state has a position in IFNW called, I can't even think of it now.
Inland Fisheries and Wildlife?
Well, Inland Fisheries and Wildlife. But I have an ADC license, Animal Damage Control.
Yeah.
You get that from the wardens, and you're allowed to charge people that have nuisance animals regardless of the season. Like, I could trap a beaver in the summertime.
Or you could trap a skunk.
Or I could trap a skunk or a raccoon or anything.
Do you know what a fisher is?
Yeah.
I've trapped a few fisher.
They kill those little toy dogs, so people want to.
Yeah, they can be nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did that before I started the government job, and how I got that was the fellow that was working out of Jonesboro, FNW section out there, he retired.
Yeah.
And they knew me from the game wards and stuff, knew me from out here, so I got that job. And it was happened to be with the government, so that's how that all that worked.
What do you like on the outside?
I like a lot of camping and fishing. I'm not a real big hunter. Like, just again, like just small things like
squirrels. There's a hunter right there. Yeah.
Do you brook trout? Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done
fish?
A whole lot, but yeah, we do.
Yeah,
have you gotten your eagle yet?
I'm just about, like, this summer I'm going to be working on my project.
What's your project?
I'm going to put in a fire escape door and ramp over at the Dedham Congregational Church.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good.
Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the tentative plan, so. Yeah.
So, and you're a troop?
We're over in Orrington.
Right. So Charlie Hanscom just got his eagle.
Yeah.
And,
I had his dad in Scouts.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had his dad in school. We're that old. Yep. Who else? Nick Albert.
Yeah.
He's doing his Eagle Scout for the music department.
Yeah.
Building the lockers.
Yep.
Josh Morneau's building shelving for the choral library.
Yep.
And you're doing the fire door. It's an awesome organization.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Scouts are great.
Being a girl, I wish I could have been a Boy Scout.
Yeah. So were you ever a Boy Scout?
Oh yes, when I was a kid, I was a Boy Scout. Yeah.
It was.
I never got too far because back then I don't like the water.
No.
I know how to swim, but I don't like the water, and I did not know how to swim when I was in Scouts.
Really?
And you can only go to second class.
Yeah.
And then you have to be able to swim.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Do you live? You live in Dedham?
Yep, on the Upper Dedham Road. That's the right, straight across from G&M.
Yeah. Whereabouts up there? What's the address?
It's 228, so it's right on the big corner.
Okay.
As you're going up that hill.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We used to own land on Chase Mountain Road.
Yeah.
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 So it's on the way to Ball Mountain, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's...
Do you know? Oh, you know. I know you know.
Yeah.
Braden Ward.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we... Pretty close community in Dedham. So.
Cool.
Were you in the plays at Dedham?
I really don't have a.
No? Are you a basketball player?
No, just Boy Scout, and I do a lot of tinkering and stuff like that. So.
What do you tinker on?
He tinkers on everything.
Yeah, vintage snowmobiles, mini bikes, just little stuff like that.
Do you understand engines?
Yep, that's kind of a big passion of mine.
It's like a mystery to me.
Yeah.
I know how to push the go button.
Yeah.
So you're looking for information of Bob's relationship to...
To Maine and
to Maine
trapping.
And trapping. And well, you lived in Orrington for how many years?
Well, we moved up here in 68, so... probably 20...
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
20 some odd years I would make living in Orrington, wouldn't you?
I wonder why you weren't taking notes. For how many years?
20 at least, I would say,
Wow.
And my oldest boy was born in Pennsylvania, but Josh was born over here, the police captain.
And they both did Scouts for a while.
Yeah, they were both in Scouts. Matthew went further than Josh. Josh.
Yeah.
Didn't like a heck of a lot of it, and he wasn't really cut out for that.
No.
Yeah. Matthew, as we just said, we used to go family camping in the summertime, and he was probably 5.
Yeah.
And we used to camp up at Savvy Lake off the Studnell Road.
Yeah.
And one night, we just had gotten there that first week or something like that, and he said, "Is it okay if I sleep outside?" And my wife and I looked at each other and thought, "He'll never do it." So we said, "Sure." He slept all night long in a lawn chair. Outside in the, there was nothing dangerous about any of it, but most kids wouldn't do that.
It's always great.
He's been in the woods ever since.
And we've been winter camping.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I actually just got back today from winter camping. We went last night. There's, I don't know if you know Bud Young.
The name's familiar, but I don't
think. He lives up at the base of Bald Mountain.
Okay.
And,
oh, all right. Yeah.
And we camped, he has a big sliding hill there.
Uh-huh.
And we camped from yesterday into this morning, got up this morning. And
nice! It must have been gorgeous with all that snow.
It was.
Yeah, when I was in the troop, we used to go up to Trout Pond, which is up on Kings Mountain, for the annual freeze out. Yeah. Yeah, we'd go up there, and everybody would freeze to death and come home, you know. Yeah.
So you, Tinker, you built the barn out back by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I worked as a carpenter for at least a year before I decided to go to work for IBM.
Wow.
So I had a lot, and I knew how to work with wood before that anyway. My dad showed me a lot of stuff. But yeah, I built the barn all by myself.
That's awesome.
And we love having it. We had horses, and we've had goats. We have goats now. We don't have any horses, and we have chickens.
And we have pigs.
We had two pigs 1 year, and we love the animals.
Antique cider press.
Wow.
So we're very much into the things the current homestead does. Our cider press isn't as big as the current homestead, but we're very much honoring the earth.
Yeah, we
absolutely honor the earth.
That's honestly the best way to do it.
Yep, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We are about as self-sufficient as we can get.
We're trying.
Trying.
You grew up in Pennsylvania, and had how many people in Erie at that time?
Oh, 35,000, something like that.
It's a lot bigger now.
Yeah.
Denver's 35,000 now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure Erie probably is bigger. Although, I don't know, they had a couple of steel mills there that aren't there anymore. That's all the steel mills have just sort of disappeared.
So was it kind of like a bigger town?
It's
considered
much more like a city.
It's a city, and it's probably not as big as it was because a lot of the industry that supported the town has left.
So you grew up kind of in the city, and then...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's part of, I think,
becoming
enamored with...
Yeah, we lived in housing that was constructed during the Second World War.
Yes,
I was around during the Second World War, and it was just row houses.
Yeah,
two or three families in one building, and then down the road and stuff like that. And it was railroad tracks there, and so it was not rural at all. Period.
Yeah,
you had to take a ride in a car to go and get out where the farms were and stuff. So.
Wow. So.
130,000 lived there, Bob.
Wow.
When?
In the 1950s.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember the first time I went to Pennsylvania Bangor is like 35,000. It was the biggest city I'd seen in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the learning to swim wasn't like you must have learned how to swim at Phillips Lake. Or,
Well, we had the peninsula. State Park Peninsula right there, peninsula out into Lake Erie. We were there every summer.
So
you want to learn how to swim? How about that? I don't like swimming. I don't like the water.
Did you say you were part of Coast Guard? Was it?
Or? I was in the Coast Guard. Yeah. I was in the Army while I was in high school. Yeah. I was in the Army Reserve, and then went in the Coast Guard for 4 years.
So how was that?
I loved it. I had some terrible duty stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bermuda. Jacksonville, Florida. They're just terrible places to have to go.
Yeah. Wow.
I was a radio operator.
Yeah.
So how many channels did you have to listen to at once?
We would have a couple of Morse code channels, a couple of voice, and then, of course, the telephone, stuff like that. So we'd have one station in this ear.
Wow.
Yeah. That was fun. Got to see a lot of different places. And, live in different places.
So did you travel just to those two main places, just all over? And then...
Well, I was stationed there.
Yeah.
I actually lived there. I was in Bermuda for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I was in Jacksonville Beach for probably a year. I was in Savannah, Georgia, aboard a rescue vessel. And was in Miami, stuff like that. So,
this is embarrassing, but do you go to Brewer?
I don't. I go to Babs.
Oh my God.
I go to Babs, yes.
This is pathetic. Erase that part of tape.
Yeah.
No, I knew he went to Babs.
Yeah.
Because Matt said something about that.
But I can't. Now I'll be able to pick you up, but I can't pick you up.
Yeah. I like his
Did you ever do music at Dedham?
I've never really had that musical drive or. Talent drive. I didn't really like to be, too seen or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just simple. Yeah.
Do you do sports when you were in middle school?
I did. I ran cross country as soon as I could, and then I did it in BAPS last year. But Boy Scouts, it's getting bigger and bigger for me, and I've decided to.
That's awesome.
What year are you at BAPS?
I'm a sophomore.
Sophomore.
Yeah. But
it's pretty bad, isn't it? Yeah. It's been here a year and a half, and I still don't know him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you very much enjoyed Maine?
Oh, living absolutely. Here and yeah, I've been. We've been around the country.
Yeah.
And there are places that I like, and they appeal to me because they're wide open and smaller population. But
yeah.
I like woods. I love the woods and the water. Yeah.
Wow.
You could, we both could, but survive in the woods.
Yeah.
If we got lost, there'd be no problem.
Mm-hmm.
We would know. And he taught me taught me half of it. I knew part of it.
Well, yeah, but you've got a knack for it.
Mm-hmm. It'd be like a vacation to be out there lost.
Oh, yeah, so it would be. Yeah, that'd
very
be
much,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't ever want to go on a cruise during retirement. He just wants to stay here on the farm.
Oh, yeah, I have no desire. I mean, I'd like to go visit a couple more states, but if I had to stay here the rest of my life, I'd be perfectly content.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
He's always trying to invent new ways to compost, new ways to build the chicken nesting boxes.
Yeah.
He's always inventing.
Yeah.
And he has 1,000 projects going.
Trying to, not enough time to do them.
And the summer looks like it, too, believe me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, let's see. So, is there any real, advice you'd give to our generation?
To your generation?
Yeah.
Get in touch with the earth.
Yeah. Very much so. There's a lot of people growing up in these places where they're dependent on their technology.
A thing about the outdoors. Yeah. In fact, there's a...
What's
book
that book? I'm
yeah,
just
I was just there was a book. I listened to radio a lot when I worked for IBM. I used to put 35,000 miles on a car in a year.
Wow!
So I mean, a lot of time sitting on my butt listening to the radio.
Yeah.
Basically, same thing with the government.
Yeah.
I was in a truck all by myself.
Yeah.
And I had to drive all over the place. That's a lot of driving. In fact, I think I had 1 year with, and this was just the summertime. This is from April to the end of November. That I worked for the government during the year, and I could easily put 10,000 miles on a truck in that time.
Wow.
So I listened a lot to the radio, and I was listening one day, and this author, where they had this thing on NPR, and it was, the name of the book is The Last Child in the Woods.
Yeah.
And
if you ever
get a chance to read it, because this guy, and this book is, 10 years old now?
That's definitely a piece of advice.
This guy is lamenting the fact that kids don't even know what to do in their backyards.
No, not at all.
And he said it's a shame because they're not going to get in any trouble out there. Just go out and lay around in the grass, go to the park, and walk in the woods and stuff like that. But you're not. In fact, who told us that the other night? Oh, no, it was at work. I work for a basket company. I build pack baskets.
It's where Matthew's mother works.
Yeah, Nancy
making works
those,
there.
Making those pack baskets for L.L. Bean.
Yeah.
Kathy that told me. In some state, and this is just recently, a couple has been arrested and charged with child neglect.
Shyla said that.
And you know why?
Why?
Because they let their kids walk 2 blocks from where they live to a park. There's something wrong here.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to penalize parents for doing that, I think they should be penalized for not letting kids do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but we are losing touch with nature. We really are.
Have you read articles about that humanity needs to touch the earth?
Yeah. It's
and that's where a lot of
bad,
stress
yeah.
comes from. People in the city don't get to touch the earth.
No, yeah.
So that's where some of the road rage comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all cooped up, not paying attention to everything. They're just trying to get where they're going and make a dollar.
Right, right. Yeah. And the values just aren't there anymore. I mean, this across the street's more important to me than anything Bangor could ever dream of doing.
Yeah.
I don't want that screwed up over there.
Yeah.
No, so far, we're good.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd buy it if I could.
Do you know the Henderson, Mr. Henderson, that owns a lot of land?
Mr. Henderson.
Dale Henderson, you ever heard of
him? Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So how many acres are over there?
3,500.
3,500 acres. And we used to, before he bought it, it was belonged to someone in Rhode Island.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. And you got permission to trap.
He would give us permission
to trap. And we would go, and we would find a big bug that the beaver had down.
Yeah.
And we'd take the chainsaw and cut off all the stumps. Yeah. And then we'd shovel it and make a big rink.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, they're about a mile up over there.
I built a rink in the backyard now so that we don't have...
Yeah, we would make a skating rink, and then friends and everybody would go over there, and we'd skate and cook hot dogs and so on and so forth, you know, stuff like that. That's more fun to me than going to the movies, believe me.
Yeah.
Much more fun. Yeah.
So the current homestead is a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah,
it is.
So, place. Yeah.
Yeah. They've really set it back.
Did you take a school trip there?
I've been there with the scouts a couple times. And
yeah.
So they do a
wonderful
job. What
have
you done there with the scouts?
We did... I know that we were there. We viewed a few things, and then also we did a flag ceremony there for them. Nice. And that was... It's very nice.
Have you been to Camp Roosevelt?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a great place.
Yeah, it is.
That's
we just took the freshman
place.
Class, you know, this year?
Yeah.
To Roosevelt for their outdoor thing? The ropes course. Loved it.
Yeah. Well, I've been going there ever since I was probably second grade.
Yeah?
All because that's when I started Scouts.
Yeah.
And just growing up, and that's kind of been like another place to go. It's not that far away.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful there.
Are you a counselor now?
Well, actually, I'd hope to be a counselor this summer. I get my application for it. And
good.
So, yeah. It'll be fun. Very fun.
Yeah, now, how old is the youngest Scout in your troop?
The youngest scout in our troop is probably, I think they're 6th grade, so that'd be, 12?
Yeah. 11 or 12 is the youngest you can be a scout.
Right? Yeah, Boy Scout, and then there's Cub Scouts, which you can go.
Yeah.
But, it's been amazing.
When we took these were incoming freshmen, perhaps we take them on a 4-day trip.
Yeah.
Backpacking trip on the Appalachian Trail. Most of them had never even carried a pack in their lives.
No,
And we had some really interesting experiences. But what we used to do, the first place we stayed at night, we had a tarp.
Yep.
And we would get the kids to put the tarp up.
Yep.
The only problem was that there was a place for this corner and that corner. And
nothing
this corner,
for it.
But nothing for that one. And the object of that was to show them, think out of the box. So we'd say, okay, you solved the problem.
Yeah.
Okay, and the solution was very simple, but it took them a long time.
Yeah.
And what you did was take a rope and tie it to this tree, that tree, and then that corner became the rope right there.
Yeah, exactly.
But we wanted people to figure out stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people.
You know, get right out of where you are and see what you can do. So we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of...
We
had some wild experiences, too.
A lot of community caring.
Yeah.
The trip is as strong as the weakest person. And if
one
person leaves the stove at the campsite,
we all
then everybody suffers because it's much slower.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody had pots and stuff.
And the neat thing about those trips were that we only took 10 kids at a time.
Yeah.
And those 10 kids, probably a lot of them knew each other to start with, but a lot of them were brand new kids. And those groups, as they went through school, stuck together every year. It was really cool to watch that.
I haven't told you, Ben Hale, Mr. Hale at Babs,
he
got a grant for outdoor education.
Super.
Yeah, I don't know how big it is, but I just read it in the...
Nice.
So,
I see.
But I'll just have to give him all my outdoor stuff. Because he has the
energy. We've got a ton of stuff with him.
Have you done any outing club stuff with him?
I haven't, no.
No.
You could lend
a lot of leadership to that.
Yeah.
That would look good on your resume.
Yeah, it would.
You should. You know who Mr. Hale is?
Yes, I do.
That's good. Because after we left, that was
I think that my favorite thing is that they contacted the Y came and spoke about outdoor education last year. Do you remember that? The guy from the Y at the assembly?
Yeah.
Yep. And from there, Babs made a connection and So when they took the freshmen to Camp Roosevelt, it's the first time they've done a freshman trip in I don't know how many years.
Mm-hmm.
They hired the scout leaders there to teach all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we used to do it all.
Right.
We had someone teach archery.
That.
And so I'm really hoping that, that I think Bass wants to start outdoor education with other people being responsible before we write the whole program.
Right, yeah.
We should have a climbing wall in the old gym, but just my thought.
Yo, you guys have been in the new lodge up there to Camp Roosevelt, right? You've seen the climbing wall there? Have you?
No.
It's right in the lodge.
Yeah. Who was talking? Somebody was talking about that the other day.
My daughter just got engaged, and she's going to get married there.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, Bernie. What?
Bernie's a scout. Her fiance is a scout leader for Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bernie
that's
McDonald.
That's her fiance.
You know.
I don't believe I know
him. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he works. He takes care of people who can't care for themselves. He spends the night with them. It's what's the organization? Some state organization. So he's like gone for a week.
Wow.
You know, he works for a week, and this particular person, and then he might with somebody else next week. It might, and it's interesting. But he's right. He's he's in scouts too. So.
Oh, he loves it. Chaps loves it.
Yeah, he likes scouts.
And he just had an Eagle Scout pass his boards.
Yeah.
And he goes to camp with his troop for 1 week.
Yeah.
Goes to work. Do you guys?
Yeah, we do that. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
we
went.
We've done for the last 3 years, we've done a...
Oh, they're dragging the snowmobile trail, Bob.
Yeah, they did it earlier, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
They must be getting ready for... You
the
know
big
we're
storm?
Not going to go to school on Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Do you know that?
Pretty
is
much.
It for sure?
No.
No,
it's not for sure, but according to the forecast,
you've been...
Mr. Amistad put on Facebook, blizzard, oh my God, 10 to 20 inches is what he wrote.
Wow. We're supposed to get it.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to start at 1 a.m. Monday...
Evening?
Night, after midnight.
Yeah.
So, of course, if it's a blizzard, and it's been snowing since 6 o'clock, you know, since 1, 6 o'clock, I can't imagine, I'm changing my, I'm changing my whole plan for band, because I think we're going to miss one day, and they say there's a blizzard warning out until 3 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah, we have a DOT friend, and he said, they're saying, a minimum of 15 inches, or they're saying 15 inches on Tuesday. And then another 5 on Wednesday. And then Friday, they're talking a big storm. Or Friday through Monday, they're talking constant snowing.
Well,
yeah.
No
make
wonder
up,
they're
make
out
up.
Packing the snowmobile. Now, this snowmobile trail is part of the whole thing.
Yep.
Do you snowmobile?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Oh, so that's where a lot of your time goes.
It is,
Good.
Just working on it. And it's great. I've been able to... travel basically the whole northern part of the state on that. And
did your dad go with you?
Yep.
Your mom?
My mom will, yeah. She's not into it as big, but
she'll go. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have Lindley Wakeland. She graduated from BAPS last year.
Oh, my God. I know exactly who he is now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And that's your mom, right?
What?
Same.
My mom...
You look just like your mom.
Yeah.
Just like your mom.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Norris told me that he knows who you are.
Well,
I thought he was in the band, but...
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be sure. I know I've been teaching 38 years.
Yeah.
And I know so many kids that...
so many different
faces
every day.
I just offer that now. If I'm not sure, I want to know.
Yeah.
So that I can be more
personal. We can be... 1 year we were... Where were we?
I don't know where we are. Are
we back? Airplane. No, when we went out to Wyoming, we were coming back. We were in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
I don't know where you're going with this story.
Well, you ran into somebody on the airplane that didn't go to school. At you, but their cousin did, and they knew exactly who you were.
What are
the odds?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Babs also took a Lewis and Clark trip on the Missouri River.
Oh, that was cool.
And we got hired to be the outdoor counselors for that.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. 3-day canoe trip.
Yeah.
And it was all downstream.
Mm-hmm. Can't beat that.
Oh,
no.
No. It's the first time I'd ever slept under the big sky.
Wow.
Yeah, she'd always slept in the tent.
You can see. It's everything. Do you sleep
outside much? I have, yeah. It's beautiful. Oh, yeah. Like, you can see
everything.
Little detail, yeah.
Yep. And then out there, out west, yep. You can see, here's the land. So you can see stars right here, all the way
up. Wow.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
I bet it was, yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, well, we were able to do, for the last couple of years, there's a Boy Scout base, Maine High Adventure, up to Mattagam, and
yes.
We were able to do that.
Yep.
So did you
and
know?
We did a bunch of different trips from there. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah.
Who's a great pianist that's maybe 5 or 6 years older than you? It was across from Kathy Cressy. Oh. I can't remember.
No.
Yeah.
I used to know the guy that ran that, but I think he's retired now.
I'm trying to think of things that we can remember of your love of the earth. Oh. Here's a crazy piece of information. Nope. We've already talked about our funerals. That's when people saw you do it. And we're both going to be cremated. And
yeah.
My ashes are going to be put in the water at Beach Hill where...
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So his ashes. Tell them where your ashes are going to go.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with the paper company road labeling. They have numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. And the one I'm talking about is the 32,000. So it comes off the Studmer Road.
Yeah.
It's 32. And you go north.
Yeah.
And there's one spot there, probably I don't know, 5 miles in, where you drive over this almost a bog. Well,
yeah.
It is a bog, but and they have the road higher than everything. And it's my favorite place in all the world because it looks like the tundra looks up in the north.
Wow.
So, when I go, I'm going to have my ashes dumped right there. Yeah, we have to show. I have to show. Well, Matthew will bet knows where it is.
Yeah, we have not yet done the GPS marking.
But we'll mark it with the GPS.
But we expect you to stick around for a bit longer. So.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
So,
have you got more questions? I don't mean to.
No, not much. Just go with the conversation. So.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing being able to go up there, up further north, and just see everything.
Oh,
isn't it gorgeous?
Yeah.
The whole state is fantastic.
I think snowmobiles are good and I think they're bad.
Yeah,
but
it'd be different.
They do take you to parts of the earth you would never see.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's exactly like backpacking.
Yeah, just like we did a canoe trip on Chamberlain Lake to go in to see the steam locomotives.
Yeah.
And we found ourselves, it's actually a funny story, we found ourselves, we couldn't find the entrance to where the locomotives were.
Yeah.
So we kind of pulled up on a beach, and we just kind of looked on our map and kind of thought where they would be. And we just shot a compass bearing right till there.
Bushwhacked.
We did. It was, what were we? We must have been at least 6 hours in there, and we weren't able to find it, but we had our compass bearing, we were able to come out, but we were right in the middle of a cedar swamp at the end, and it was amazing.
But
great experience.
Yeah, I was trapping up in, actually, it was for the paper company.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember where it was, it's not important, and where I was a brook that came down and it was threatening a road that they had. They wanted the beaver out of there. And I couldn't really find where the beaver were. And the swamp or the bog went up this way.
Yeah.
And the road was here. And there was another road out there that intersected this one.
Yeah.
So I figured, well, I'll just go in the bog
and
walk around on the edges and see if I can find a dam or a house or something like that. Well, when I got in there, I got turned around. Because there's no landmarks in the bog.
No,
exactly. And I thought, oh, this is great. So I went the way I thought I was supposed to go, and it was completely backwards.
Yeah.
But I came out on something I recognized, so I was able to get the hell out of there that day.
Yeah.
It would have been, you know, cedar swamps are nasty. Yeah. They can really screw you up.
We almost had to stay the night in there. That's because we were in there, and it was, we started going in probably about noon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were easily in there like hours before.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty amazing, but.
What is all of this?
Well, is that the swamp?
That's it right there, yeah.
That's the swamp.
The road is right here, and there's high water. It goes on. It's not even a
is that the swamp you were just talking about?
Yeah, this is somewhere back. It looks just like the tundra.
Wow.
Because the trees are shortened because of the weather and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's it right there.
And he used
to... that's a buddy of... When we were on the AT...
Wow.
We stopped one day for lunch, and there were a couple of Canada Jays.
Yeah.
You know about Canada Jays?
No, not really.
Okay, they're marauders, they're thieves, they're awful. They have no fear of anybody.
Yeah.
So I walked out in a little clearing and held some bird seed, some probably gorp in my hand, and that he came down and took it out of my hand.
That's awesome.
And everybody said, wow, how did you know? They'd do that to any... They call them camp robbers in Canada. That's what they are. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's, I think, me standing on one of the hills.
Across from Sugarloaf.
No, this one is the...
I thought
that's Cathedral Trail.
Is it?
Yeah. I thought it was. What's the mountain across from Sugarloaf?
It's not Bigelow. And
yeah, it is Bigelow.
Well, don't we have that picture somewhere else? Anyway, yeah.
That top one is on that, do you think?
I think it's on Cathedral. That's one of the vantage points you can walk out on and look down over it. That's me standing there. And this is a moose I saw near on the on the Studmill Road. And this is just a place I trapped.
Yeah. Wow.
I take a lot of pictures.
So, there's Bob.
Where was that?
It's on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
Oh, this is my favorite one. This is an old spec.
Oh, wow, that's pretty.
Yeah. But we took kids, and all the time we took kids.
Well, we've taken whole families over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we've had kids go on and hike the whole Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Trail.
That's a big goal for me eventually.
Good.
Oh, great.
I was going to do it when I turned 50, but my son wanted to go to college. So it was me, go hike, or help my son go to college.
I worked for a summer in Alaska.
Oh, well, that must
have been
great.
The Parks Department. Yeah. Oh, I had a complete and utter blast.
Yeah.
They didn't pay me, but they fed me, and that's all I wanted.
Yeah.
Alaska is indescribable.
Yeah.
It's like the Grand Canyon. You can see all the pictures you want of the Grand Canyon.
You can't.
But until you get there, you have no idea what it's like.
Have you hiked up on the Appalachian Trail?
I've just done like Katahdin and just a little bit of it, but not a whole lot.
How many times have we climbed Katahdin?
I don't know.
Probably 10 or 15.
Yeah, I've been up about three.
Yeah.
Two or three.
Because we used to take all the kids that went on this hike up there just to see what they were like.
Yeah.
Just to get an idea, okay, who's going to be a problem and who isn't going to be a problem.
So
we always had fun.
Doing that kind of stuff is a blast.
See that picture?
Yeah.
That's from there, Katahdin. And the last time we hiked Katahdin, you know, do you know the Sakara Auditorium?
Yeah.
We took all his kids backpacking.
We had all nine kids.
Yeah, so we had an anniversary.
Wow.
And this is the last time that we climbed. And every kid in the family wrote
their experiences.
Wow, that's
some of them were
that's
hysterical.
Yep. Yep.
Wow, that's beautiful.
You see that?
Wow.
It's the same thing. Yep.
That would have been nice to drive across there, right?
Yep.
Have you done it?
Yeah, we just did it this year.
Oh, did you love it?
Yeah, it was pretty scary. It was probably close to 50 mile an hour winds.
That's when it's dangerous up there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, maybe not that fast. We probably had about 30, but it was...
Yeah, you want to...
Don't
you love that?
Yeah, it's just bare. I've only been up once when it was clear like that.
Yeah.
But the other two times, unfortunately, it was fogged in.
Yeah. When I was in Alaska, they gave us the weekend off, and we had a government truck. We drove over to Denali National Forest, and that's where the mountain is. And... people who have lived in Alaska almost all their lives, some of them have never seen the mountain because it's always cloudy.
Yeah.
The 3 days that we were there, it was absolutely perfect.
I'm all set, thank you.
We had told some people about that coming back, and they said, you're lying. It's never... 3 days, perfect pictures of Denali.
Wow.
That's an impressive place. And that park is different in that it... You can't drive your car.
Yeah.
You drive to where you're going to camp, and that's the end of your car. No, you don't do any... Well, you could.
Yeah.
But they have school buses.
Really?
And they go by every half hour, and you just... stick your hand up and they pick you up and they take you wherever, and when you say you want to get out, they stop and let you out.
Wow.
We get out one place to see a herd of caribou, and after we scared the caribou away, we started to come back toward the road, and there's a grizzly bear walking down the road.
Wow.
So we decided not to go to the road. Yeah, no, it was fantastic. Alaska is really something else.
Yeah, it seems like it's just a bigger Maine.
Well, the problem with Alaska is unless you have a plane or a boat, you don't go very far.
No, exactly.
You can't walk in the woods.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's dense.
Yeah. No trails, no nothing.
Yeah.
But it's worth going. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So have you learned what you can eat and not eat in the forest yet?
We've done a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then a lot of it.
Have you ever eaten any rock tripe?
Rock tripe.
It looks like seaweed that grows.
Oh,
the
like the
rocks.
I haven't eaten any, but I know what you're talking about.
It's edible, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. I didn't know that. That's awesome. So you've kind of traveled all over the U.S. or to a lot
quite
of these big attractions or like.
Well, we went out to see her aunt in Wyoming, and that was terrific.
Yeah.
And then when we did the Missouri trip with Ryan, we went from Colorado up. But when we first got married, we took my kids.
Yeah.
I'm 8 and 11. And we did the first family trip that my kids had ever taken. And he built a kitchen in the back of the Dodge Caravan. Mm-hmm. And we went across country to the Grand Canyon.
Oh.
We took CVs, and we had this turtle up on top to put stuff in that plastic container.
Yeah.
And every day we took, I don't need to do a lot of the talking, but we do tons of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like the kids had to set up the tent.
Yeah.
And set up the kitchen before they could go to the swimming pool.
Yep.
They had to check the tires and do the oil.
Every morning
in the car. Wash all the windows.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of the country there.
Oh, yeah.
And our favorite was, of course, being outside. I'd never been to the Grand Canyon. Have you?
Yeah, I did. I was able to go... It's probably 2 years ago now.
With the Scouts?
Nice.
I didn't go with the Scouts, no. Our family went. And it's just amazing. Just the... It's bigger, and there's really no words.
When we got there, we were headed toward where we were, the area we were supposed to camp in, the campground or whatever, and we were driving along, and there was this view off to the left, so we all got out of the car, walked over, and as we get closer and closer, my mind is starting to say, this is not real.
Yeah.
Honest to God, it is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, unreal.
The guy next door is into scouts.
Yeah.
Art Morgan.
Well, he used
I know Art, yes.
Yeah. And he's taking kids to the Grand Canyon.
Yep. I know Art. I just saw him the other day.
Yeah.
We did an interview.
He worked at scout campus. Sorry.
Yeah, he did. I signed up to work at the National Jamboree, hopefully, to help lead a trip there.
Nice.
I can see you being great at this.
Art,
I think you're going to be great at leading.
I never went to a jamboree. It would have been fun.
Yeah. It was. It should be pretty good. Yeah. But Art's big into that. Art's a pretty nice guy.
Yeah. He's been in quite a while.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of how much you love the earth.
Me?
Yeah. Well, on his day off.
Yeah.
He'll get up at 5
in
the summer, and he'll spend the entire day outside in the gardens or walking in the woods.
I said, there is no reason for me to leave here.
All right, you have to come see the back. Just look out the back there. built that barn. Wow. And it helped hunting. Can you see the indentation there? That's the skating barn I built.
Oh, just right?
Yep, just past.
Oh, right here,
see
yes.
See the gutter off the roof?
Yep.
That's how I fill it up. So I need 14 inches deep. But we don't have a good well, so we did irrigation off the barn into the pond.
That's awesome.
Yep.
You have a bigger garden?
And that's the raised gardens, but out past my son's boat is another big garden.
So those boxes out there, they're
that's compost.
Those are compost boxes.
And then the paper table up there?
Yep.
It's intense. The grandkids are going to be awesome.
Perfect,
There's
nothing better than relaxing under fire.
I tell you, we have three fire pits.
That's awesome.
We had trouble with one of the goats. We had a vet here one day. Just when there was water out here, and a cute young lady, I didn't see her until today. There's some stumps in the pond. And you can see the some just
kind of around the edge.
Well, they're all pretty stumps. I mean, they're real stumps, but they weren't there.
Yeah.
Really had them just marked and marked and decorated. And this girl, that's a good pond. She said, how long has it been here? He said, about a summer. She couldn't believe it was that we made it.
Wow.
And we're not finished with it. We've got a little area over here. Put a pool in and have a water pump to resurface. We had 3 mountains out here last spring. And they came back on their fall journey. We had a blue heron.
Really?
Stopped, never got in the water, but stood on top of the barn and walked things over before she left. And we've had deer down here that walk around and come drink water, walk through the water. It's just a riot.
Wow.
And we have frogs.
Yeah.
And they show up.
Yeah, we're teaching the life cycle to our grandkids.
Just, it is just
there's the deer.
Oh, wow.
And I had a new phone, and I tried to take a picture of that blue heron, but I couldn't figure the phone out. So
there's a deer attack. Yeah. Music room.
Yeah, we have deer on your own.
Yeah,
we must have deer in Denver.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
We've had them from, we have a fenced in area. It's probably, I don't know, 20 feet out from our deck.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come right up to the fence, pretty close. We'll usually have, I don't know, this year we had pecan and then 3 or so mothers that just all kind of hung out.
And the same thing here, they're not usually getting in that garden because we have a ton of stuff. But after the stuff is all gone, the gate. So we had 2 lawns, 3 was it 3 lawns, and 1 lawn. Seriously, I have no reason. I don't reason to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I can stay right here. Just be happy. Plenty of stuff to do out there.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's never something else to do.
I don't really have a good time sitting around.
No, I can't keep myself.
I get ugly after. Don't sit around too long.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, he has 4 workshops.
Really?
So, this extension out there is a woodshed with traps in it.
Yep.
And then one of the garage bays is another workshop. And then that one up there is a woodshop, and this one has some.
Wow.
Talk about 2.
Yeah, well, the one woodshed is for working on traps and stuff like that. So, not doing anything with that right now. Basket company that I work for, the condenser, we sell LL Bean, Walmart, Vicks, Lenny's,
there's
a lot of baskets. And there's only, well, for us, there's only 2 of us. We
cool.
Now we have Nancy Helms, and there's well, I don't know if you know, what is it, Ledgewood? Nursery, are you in the garden at all?
No, my mom is.
Okay, well, there's a nursery in Orington on the.
Yeah.
What's the name of the road? In Johnson Nova. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's working there part time. Because Kathy, the lady that owns the building, she works for her during the summer. So we've got Nancy, Kathy, Aaron. We've got another guy now. So we've got like five people leaving. Not all the time. So we're able to. And about another month and I'll be done.
Perfect.
So that's what they do.
Wow.
That's the old name that I got. Yeah. For traveling, especially people listen to biking.
Yeah, I do. I kind of always, whenever you think of like trapping or something, I always picture pack basket with traps in it.
Yep.
Going out.
Yep.
Yeah. That's just awesome.
Yeah, that's an ash basket right there, which is a work of art. Try to buy a new one. Unless you got $400 or $500.
No, probably not.
There's a lot of labor involved in doing that.
I love your stuff.
I'm so relieved.
It's been in my family since I was five.
Really?
Yeah. And when Alex, when we're done with it, Alex wants it. So, and it'll probably be good for her too. I mean, the thing is indestructible.
Yeah.
Blood.
And it was, when I was a child, it was retrofitted for kerosene burns.
Yes.
Wow. And then we took kerosene burns up.
Yeah,
I shopped up.
The great backbone.
Yeah.
Super rumble.
Yeah, there's nothing like a wood fire.
You know, early in the morning, we get up around 4.
Yeah.
And start a fire right away and take the chill off valves, keep the furnace from running, save the swimming.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
It feels like you
can. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Nothing better. No. I don't hope to go into like a city. I kind of want to live rural, like way out.
Yeah.
I couldn't live anywhere else.
But I'm kind of encouraged, you know, especially in the last couple of years. I stopped working for the government October a year ago.
Yeah.
But I traveled in a lot of new rural places.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have five people on this road that sell chicken eggs.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where everybody, we got to go there.
Yeah.
Absolutely got to go there. I'm encouraged by it.
That's all I have.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do for a job, do you think?
I was kind of thinking I would be an engineer or possibly, like, maybe a warden or something like that, but I kind of haven't really given too much thought to that, because I know I don't want to be cooped up in an office, but I don't know.
Well, is Alan Gillis still active, or is he behind the desk now?
Alan's a sergeant now, so he's behind the desk, yeah.
That name is really familiar.
Yeah, he was from
the main warden.
Yeah. I think I think my mom knows him. I think we actually just saw him on our way here or something.
You drove yourself, right?
No, my mom.
She's
got a good book.
And oh, my God. I'm
going to
get a book.
Thank you. That's awesome.
No, I think you guys do a good job of the scouts, and I think more people should do it. I know people who just look down their nose at scouting, and I think, well, you know, there's something wrong with it because, you know, you gotta get in touch with who you are, and learn how to do things on your own and think a little bit about what you're doing and stuff like that. And I think scouts. Well, I was, like I said, I was a scout as a child.
Yeah.
And had a ball.
Yeah.
And we never did anything like we do here, though, because I was a scout in Erie, Pennsylvania, and there was really no place to go. There, you know, there was a scout camp, something like Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And, this is a great place, I think.
So you said you were a scoutmaster for 44?
Yep.
Yeah.
True 44. Yeah. And like I said, I think it was from Matthew, the oldest boy was. Well, he had to be 11, right?
Yeah.
So that would be 66.
or 67, and I think I was there for 4 or 5 years. I can't really remember how long I was a scoutmaster there, but
because I had a friend who became an Eagle right around then, so or right around, I think it was 79 that he became an Eagle. So
I thought that I had, excuse me a minute, let me see. I know the scout, the 44 had a ceremony here a few years ago.
Yep.
I couldn't make it, but I guess all the old scoutmasters came back.
Wow.
But I did get something from Art.
Yeah, because Art was the
scoutmaster. Yeah, he was a scoutmaster, yes.
Yeah, he was two before me, like my dad's it now.
Okay.
And then there was Dave Jeffrey, then it was Art.
Right.
So.
Dave Jeffrey's father was the guy that ran Mattagammon, that's who I knew. He and, I knew Dave's mother also.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ran Mattagammon.
Mattagammon's just an amazing place.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
If I could live up there, that would be perfect.
Yeah. Oh, I could easily live across the street and never even come back out again. I'd just stay right there.
It was, I don't know, that's just the best way to do it.
Yeah, we love having the birds here. And we've seen so many. Well, we used to just have the feeders out away from the house, and we've got them up right on the window now. Oh, you see the blue jays out here.
Sure.
Let's come in here and just
tear
everything up.
Do you feed the hummingbirds in this?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's one hummingbird that lives down there, and there's one that lives up this way.
Yeah.
And they both come, and they fight when they get here. You know, they dive bomb each other in.
Pretty amazing. My grandmother, she had, there was like 14 that would hang around her house during the summer.
Yeah.
And she had the feeders. She just had, it was just sugar and water mix.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's all you need.
And then it was pretty amazing to see them out there.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was their big activity. And then,
yeah. Oh, they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Matthew, right now, the oldest boy, is working for the government this winter.
Yeah.
Removing snowy owls from the airport.
Really?
Because they're a hazard to aircraft.
Yeah.
You don't want one of them to run into a jet engine because it'll stop.
I know his mom.
Yeah.
Because his dad is the occupational therapist that I went to for my knee surgery.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and made appointments and canceled them and made appointments. But when he said Wakeland, all I could see was his mother's face.
Yeah.
And I went out there, and there's mother's, and she doesn't want to come in because it's nice and quiet, and she gets to read.
Yeah, she's got a pretty big book. She's always reading a book.
Yeah.
So. But he's got some incredible pictures of the snowy owls, and he's actually had them hold on to them while they banned them and things like that. So, yeah, he's been into a lot of different stuff this year.
Do you know how strong the owls are?
Well, yeah, Matthew is probably 6'1", 6'2".
Really?
And he's well put together boy. And he was holding one.
Yeah.
He had his hands around its legs and one arm around its wings while they were banding it.
Yeah.
And somehow it wiggled free.
Yeah.
But he still had a hold of the. He said the thing felt like it was going to take him off the ground when it tried to fly away. He said they've got a huge wingspan.
Wow.
And a lot of power.
Almost as big as the eagle.
Yeah, almost
as
big
as. I think it's a deeper bed of feathers.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, but anyway, he said he showed me some pictures. I guess they're a beautiful bird. And they come down, this is where they summer. They go back up north in the winter, I guess. Up there, I don't know what they're doing here, but yeah. And they've trapped them here, they trap them down in Portland.
Yeah.
And they trap a lot of hawks and stuff at airports. And they take them away and relocate them.
Yeah.
Which is ludicrous because the hawk beats them back to Bangor.
Yeah, exactly.
But these birds don't live here.
No.
So they're not dedicated to it. So they've been taking them out on the blueberry barrens and letting them go, and they find some place to live out there and hunt and stuff like that, so they don't come back.
So where would they be around the airport? Would they just be like
perched on the top of an airplane?
Really?
Yep. They're completely fearless. The airplanes don't bother them a bit. Matthew saw one on a runway marker. It's up off the ground, probably that far, so the so it's visible to the pilots and things like that. Just sitting right there waiting for mice or something. He said planes were taxiing right by it and they never even looked at them.
Honestly, I think I like the owls, like any of them.
Oh, owls are a lot interesting. Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
I kind of like them better than an eagle. I mean, an eagle just shows freedom, but just like the look of the bird, he just looks fearless and like he's on a mission. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're cool. I've seen a few.
Yeah.
Because you can hear them here at night.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, Mom was talking about the snow next Friday, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be zero tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So, did you hear that on the...
We heard... Let's see. I'm not sure who said... shoot. It was our friend there, his son is in our troop, and we talked to him this morning, and he said that they're talking snow throughout the whole weekend.
Yeah.
But
this,
he was
is,
also
this
saying,
is for Monday night through Wednesday.
Wow.
So
are we in
we're
the 12,
in the 12 to 24,
yeah.
And Springfield, Mass. Is in the 24 to 36.
Well, they're in the mountains, too, so the Berkshires.
Wow. Making up for what we didn't have.
Yeah. Boy, we went a long time, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
It was so dusty.
Seemed like a long
time. The only great thing about this is the ground was frozen before this game, so it's going to stay frozen.
Yeah. See, there it is, another picture of it.
The snow will stick around now.
Yeah. Unless we get more rain.
Yeah.
Don't
I love it. That's one of the reasons why I left Erie.
Yeah.
Because winters in Erie were... slush all the time.
That's nasty.
Never a good snowfall. One year I lived there, I think I was in high school, we got almost 4 feet of snow in a storm.
Really?
Which closed everything down.
Yeah.
In fact, a buddy of mine and I went to work for the railroad shoveling out switches.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We thought, what the hell? Let's go.
Might as well, yeah.
Have you ever been on a train?
I haven't, no. Just... No, not really.
Yeah, train, I love to travel.
Yeah.
If I had, there's one thing I would like to do, if I had the money, that would be take the Canadian Railroad, National Canadian Railroad, from here to the West Coast. That would be a blast.
Be beautiful to see the countryside in winter.
Yeah. And the Canadian Rockies are
much
more beautiful than our Rockies are. In fact, when they show us pictures of the Rockies, it's usually... The Canadian Rockies that they've got, ads and stuff like that, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's usually the Canadian Rockies, not ours. Nothing wrong with ours.
No.
But they're more spectacular. They're bigger and.
Yeah.
But that would be fun.
I have a segue for you.
Yeah.
You like to tinker?
I do.
And you need to start building your resume for college.
Yeah.
I can always use.
Okay.
A kid that could fix instruments, and I can teach you.
All right.
So it might be something to think about for next year.
Okay.
You could get credit for band, and you would just fix things.
Really?
Yeah.
Do
you have any fine arts credit yet?
I don't. I'm supposed to start...
Yes!
Yeah.
So think about it.
All right.
Because I would teach you to fix clarinets and saxophones.
Okay.
And percussion always needs repair.
Yeah. Cool.
Something to think about.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Todd Sicara did it for me. A gazillion.
Who did?
Todd Sicara.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. It's hard to find a kid that likes to tinker that's not in the band. It's,
right.
You know, I don't have the opportunity to meet that many. I don't hang out with them. So this is very exciting.
Yeah.
So think about it.
That would be nice, yeah.
That would be your fine arts
credit.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to
take
art or take music or something like that.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God. I'm not going to go to school. I'm not going to go to school on Friday.
You may not go anywhere on Friday.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the band in the corral is going to be a basketball
ski tour or something.
I don't know. I can't find a long range. This is only for Tuesday and Wednesday that we're finding.
They were saying, what was it, the European model or whatever was more accurate for this year?
Yeah, it
like
has
that.
Been
Look,
so far, yeah.
No, this one is 15 to 30.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My Lord.
That's tomorrow night.
Well, that'll be fun. Tomorrow night?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh. But the snow blow is working, and we just have to fix the...
Oh, I can tell you, I'm going to fix that right now. Yeah, we have machinery, obviously, and...
I am very good at breaking.
She keeps me challenged all the time.
Yeah.
I've had that snowblower part too many times. We keep shearing pins and things like that, and that's fun.
Do you fix the snowblower at home?
I can, yeah. The
Do you realize that that's not the ordinary?
Yeah.
How many high school kids can fix the snowblower? Yeah. Think about it.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
And what you love to do is getting lost in education.
Yeah.
So revel in the fact that you want to be able to do this. You'll always get a job.
Yeah. That's kind of what I wanted to do. I had pictured on taking maybe like a class up to UTC or something to learn one of these skills.
Yeah.
And then like, or to further explore my skills.
Do you remember a kid from... Oh, you didn't go to Arlington. He played the drums. Oh, my God. I can't remember anybody's name.
They had something on the news the other day.
He got an outstanding award for doing one class. He went to Babs.
Yeah.
He did one class up there senior year and got recognized for being outstanding.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was studying. Maybe car engines.
Yeah.
I think it was, actually.
Yeah, that's something going on in
Casey Bartlett's brother.
Somebody, I don't know if it was UTC or not, this guy is training kids to do stuff, and they're getting fantastic jobs, right? They're getting jobs before they actually graduate. They're that kind of demand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, we saw that thing on machinists.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Just like people always need their houses heated and plumbed and all that, so those are always jobs to know the skills and then also... Like, also go back on that, maybe as a part-time, also, because, like, you're not guaranteed a job right out of
a father and son
college,
that did some of the stuff that we couldn't do in the last 2 years. And it was tinkering. It was fixing some of the cabinets, doing a little plumbing.
They could do just about anything you wanted to do.
Can you plumb?
I can't, no, not yet.
Can you? And Holly's husband, Christopher's an electrician.
He's an electrician.
And he made big bucks in Massachusetts being. Yeah. And you have leadership skills, so you could be a boss.
There you go.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. That'd be really awesome. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I did just think of something.
Yeah.
This job that I have building pack baskets.
Yeah.
I've worked for IBM. I've been in the government service. I've worked for the government.
Yep.
I've worked for Kodak. I've worked at Sears. I've worked everywhere. And this is the first job I have ever had that gives me any satisfaction.
Really?
Because I'm doing something that has been done for years in this state. Okay.
So you're carrying it's on the tradition.
It's handmade.
Yeah.
There's no machine. The only machinery involved is cutting the wood to the right sizes.
Yeah.
And I know that this thing I make will probably go to L.L. Bean or someplace, and somebody will buy it and use it in the woods.
Maine.
On the ocean, on the lakes and stuff. So this is the most satisfying job I've ever had.
Exactly.
It is just wonderful.
And this company came out of Grand Lake Stream.
Oh, yeah.
The fishing, big fishing hub down east.
Down east. Grand Lake Stream is a name of a lake.
Yeah.
But also they had a hatchery on it.
Yeah.
It's a small town. In fact, we went there a few years ago
because
they
have
a jazz festival out there. And this is where Mr. and Mrs. Cressy own the store out there, the general store. They're the ones that have the pack basket built here now.
Yeah.
We drove out on the Stud Mill Road, the dirt roads in there, because I love that road. Got there and found a place to park. And it's just this little town. Got out of the car, and it hit me like a sledgehammer. There was not a sound.
Really?
Mm-hmm. No airplanes, no cars, nothing. And it was just absolutely marvelous. And I think we found out that the summer population...
150 people that
the sun,
in
the
winter.
Yeah, that's it. 150 people in the summer.
No, winter.
No, I think it's less than that now.
I'm reading it.
Oh, you are?
Where was it?
Grand Lake Stream. It's in...
Oh, yeah.
It's out near Callis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gorgeous place. And it's strictly fishing. Nest hunting and stuff like
Matthew's
that.
Matthew's parents have a...
Yeah, oh, the pines.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You've been out there?
Yeah.
Oh, super. Beautiful, I've never been. Yeah. I want to get out there.
It's beautiful. Yeah. We did a canoe trip from there over to Dopsy Dam, down that. We went all the way out. I don't remember the name of the lakes. I just remember kind of our halfway point, which was maybe Mark's Island or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's an island way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that took us maybe like a 4-day trip or something.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful because there's no one around. There's maybe one or two little camps on the whole thing. They were tucked up in there, hidden. And it was, like the best thing ever.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Doing that kind of... Canoe trips are my favorite because you can really get away to some places.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about... They offer at UTC main guide certification.
Do they? Really?
Yeah. We did it, and we did everything but the written test.
Oh, yeah.
And it just... My job, when it performs time, I'm just too busy. But there isn't any reason why you couldn't do that. That'd be a great... class to take. It's at night.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And it's about compass reading and management of the lost person.
Yeah.
So a lot of the verbal tests will be if you have 15 people out and you're guiding from New York and one doesn't come back, what do you do?
Yeah.
So you've already started thinking about that.
Yeah.
So
it's just
you could start your main guide sooner than waiting till you get.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's good training, too.
Yeah. My kid in my troop, his dad, became a main guide, and then it's really great to have someone that we know that has that experience, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
a lot of
scouting goes along with that, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
yep.
We've done a lot of that, so. We did, just this last summer, we did the East Branch at the Penobscot, all the way from... it'd be Grand Lake Matagammon, or it's from the base up there.
Right.
We portaged around the dam, and then we just went down from there, and it was pretty spectacular.
It's very refreshing to hear you talk about your love because I don't get to talk to kids very much because they have instruments in their mouth. I'm so glad you love the outdoors.
Yeah.
You have got to go see Mr. Hale.
Yeah.
And if you helped with that...
You should get in on that.
Yeah.
That
would
be fun. And you helped with... and you don't... There's no obligation to be the repairman for band, but...
Yeah.
You should definitely do the outing club.
Yeah.
That would look really good on your resume to take the Boy Scout, the Eagle Scout, and then just kind of leadership.
Exactly, yeah.
And then classes at UTC... Oh.
Yeah.
I had a chance to get my junior main guide
at
Camp Natrasi, which is a girls'
camp. Yep. That's right in on. Was that Tope?
Yep.
Tope. Yeah.
I wish I had. Because I could do everything that they did.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't the right time. Tuesday blizzard will bring New York and Boston to a standstill.
Good.
Those in the Northeast should prepare for the storm now rather than wait until it starts to fall.
I'll fill my bathtub.
Oh, my God. You'd think that would be common sense, wouldn't you?
One of the guys that's working at the basket factory is from Tucson, Arizona. He's got a wife and two kids. And I don't remember why they got here, how they got here. But he's totally never experienced this kind of weather, okay? So they were talking, I don't know, a few weeks ago about... possible power outage because of the snow and ice and stuff.
They're saying there's going to be.
Kathy says, well, I said, so don't forget to get a bunch of jugs of water around and keep a bucket to flush the toilet and stuff like that. Kathy said, I just fill up the bathtub. It's in the bathroom, obviously.
Yeah.
And Keith, because the guy's name, and he was over there doing, I forget what he was doing. And I said, well, I said, I don't fill my bathtub up anymore. And she said, well, I said, because I can't pick it up and dump it into the thing. And I thought he was going to have a heart attack. Just but he actually thought me, believed me for a minute, and then he said, oh, for God's sake.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's a lot different. He came in
the other day, yeah, last week sometime, and said, "Gee, I don't feel cold today at all." And I said, "Really?" "Yeah." I said, "It's 20 degrees out there. You've come a long way." I said, because before 20 degrees, he'd be, you know.
I don't want Matthew to be disappointed.
No, you fulfilled it. It's awesome. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Now, did he make up the form?
I think, yeah, he did. And it just kind of, like, all the questions are recorded, but unique or family experiences and...
we have hundreds.
Yeah,
we sure do.
Yeah. When we ran the backpacking program, we used to take the kids out on training hikes, and we'd bring them here, and we'd make them put up the tent and take it down two or three times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the greatest thing that I brought with me from the Orrington Woods and Water Survival, which is called Maine Studies in Orrington now.
Yeah.
I helped write that.
Yeah.
We taught people to take a survival kit. Yeah. Do you take a survival kit when you go?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah.
Snowmobiling?
Yeah, normally have just a little one. We have these containers for the office. They're like, I don't know, they're about this big for some kind of like their cream or whatever like that. And we get a bunch of those, and we were able to fit at least 40, 50 things in it that are needed, including like space blankets, whistles, just everything.
And you take that when you go snowmobiling?
Yeah, you just stuff it right in the little trunk.
Love this kid.
Yeah.
And who taught you that? Boy Scouts?
Yeah. Boy Scouts, my dad, and well.
Now, is your dad a troop leader?
Yeah, he is now.
And is Dave Jeffrey still doing it?
Dave Jeffrey just got done doing it.
Retired?
Yep. And my dad kind of took over for him. And then, we have multiple assistant scout masters and all that.
Cool.
Nice. You are
pretty
so
great
lucky.
Having it. Yeah.
What was the perfect food to take with you? Jell-O, right?
Really?
You should read about the electrolyte.
Really?
Yeah. Just try Jell-O. Package of it.
John Baps paid for me to get certified as a wilderness first responder. Like 15, 20 years ago.
At least.
Yep. And it was an intense class. And that's something you should take, too.
Yeah.
And they have them at the University of Maine, Wilderness First Responders. And it's the best part is you study in the class for 45 minutes, and then you go out in the woods, and the counselors and the teachers have makeup, costume makeup.
Yeah, they pretend.
They pretend, you always have to, if you come upon someone that's fallen on the trail, you have to take the sample, and you have to, and then you have to, so it was just, you should take the first responder.
Yeah, there's actually training like that you can take through the Boy Scouts, and they do, like, real scenarios and stuff, like, they'll have, they came up with a scenario, my dad took the course, and they had it so, like, a person was hit by a car out in the woods, and they actually had someone with a car horn honking, and the other person spread out, so it's chaos, and you had to communicate and stuff like that. So
that's exactly what we did. We had to help with a real rescue in New Hampshire,
yeah,
in the White Mountains, and then our test was at 10 o'clock at night, in darkness. That was chaos.
Was it? Yeah.
Oh my God!
Sounds it.
And we had to carry 3 people out.
Yeah.
In the dark, on the real Appalachian Trail.
Was that you guys together? Or?
No.
She took that herself. I didn't take that.
Wow.
But we did the main guide thing.
Main guide.
Yep.
So. Wow. That's awesome.
It's a joy to talk about this, because we don't
not really
do it as much.
Who,
Right.
Well, my body doesn't, because I've had back surgery, I just don't do it anymore, and we just don't do it anymore.
Right.
I think at age 65 you stopped doing it 10 years ago?
It's probably 63. 10 that we stopped doing it. One of the reasons was the liability involved. It started to be kind of more than we wanted to take on.
He took a kid and saved his life on a trip.
What's that?
You saved a kid's life
on a trip. Oh, yeah. What's his name?
James.
Schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. This kid it was the first time, freshman at BAPS.
Yeah.
And the first day out, we had a teacher with us, history teacher who was, he liked to hike and stuff like that. In fact, he's the one that took us out on that 3-day Lewis and Clark trip. He came to me that night, the first campsite, and he said, James has said he's not having much fun. He doesn't feel good. I said, really? What's the matter? So we went over and talked to him. And his stomach hurt a little bit. And
we checked for appendicitis, pushing. Do you know how to do that
well,
yet?
Well, we didn't. I that was way before any, did any of that stuff. We asked him, you know, had he eaten and stuff like that. And he said, yeah. He said, well, we'll see what happens. Now, when you start the AT, there's only two places where you can get out.
Yeah.
Okay, and we had that plan so that halfway through, there was a hard road and a town we could get to.
Yep.
And we carried phones.
Yeah.
In those days, it was a...
We had a bag phone. It's
bag
charger
phone
that
weighed,
big.
Weighed way too much.
We had to go up on the ridge to get
out. But anyway, you had to go. Anyway,
wow.
Make a long story short, he got through that day, he got through the next day, and it was the third day, fourth day?
It was the second day.
It was the second day. He was really complaining about being in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so we left that one road that I told you about, and we went probably a mile into the woods. And he was with me, and what's her name? Jennifer was with me also.
I was home. I wasn't even there.
That's right. You weren't even there. And he finally collapsed.
Really?
He said, I just can't go any further. I said, okay. I said, okay if I touch your stomach? And yeah, go ahead. And it was not hot or hard or anything. He was not running a fever.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I kept thinking appendicitis, but I couldn't really say he had the symptoms.
Yeah.
But from there to where we got out was a day and a half away, or no, a day away. And I thought, you know what, I can't take this chance. So I left my pack in the woods, and Jen went ahead and told the group where I was. We got back out on the hard road. The deputy sheriff, who was off that day, picked us up. We were hitchhiking. Got into Andover, called his dad, and said, James is waiting for you here.
Yeah.
And so he came and got the kid. And I went back out and spent the night in the woods all by myself, rolled up in a ball. And the next day, met up with the rest of the group. We went out to where we were going to get picked up, and James's dad was one of the ones who was going to transport us back. So he shows up. And I'll never forget Ryan Hughes. He showed up, and I said, how's James? He said, they took his appendix out at 3 o'clock yesterday morning.
Wow.
It had burst the day we left. And I went down and told Ryan that, and he turned the color of that refrigerator.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. But the thing was, this is what killed him.
The
year before that,
his
family was going to go hiking.
Yeah.
And the day of the hike, he had stomach problems. Okay? So they took him to the hospital, and there was nothing wrong with him, but they didn't go on a hike. So here we are a year later. His mother knows what happened last year. Now he has a stomach ache again. She thinks it's more of the same thing. And he was all right last year, let him go this year, too.
Wow.
See the circumstances?
Wow.
Anyway, honest to God, if he'd have gone down tubes, he would have been dead because there was no way to get him out of where we camped. No way to get him out. No way to even let anybody know we needed somebody to get out. Right down the bottom of a gorge. Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's right. At the bottom of
the
gorge.
Never
and then that,
never
the
done,
hike up
no.
that mountain is
yeah,
far.
Yeah, never would have done it.
No.
He'd have died right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So whenever we see him, he comes over and hugs Bob.
Yeah.
And his mother cries.
Wow.
Because it's a real thing.
Well, she was at the hospital the other day, wasn't she? And she told the nurses what I did.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but you did.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, just one of those things that here he has a history of it.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with you, go, you know, stuff like that. And
at least let someone know that's happening, that's happening.
Yeah,
before.
And when we ran the program,
we
actually had to screen kids that had knee surgery.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't take them.
No, because that would.
I just asked.
They carry
you know?
Kids carry anywhere from 30 to 37 pounds on their back, and almost every trip we'd have a kid not be able to carry all their weight.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And then
that's
both my kids were counselors on this trip, on these trips, and we would train. We're always training kids to be counselors.
Yeah.
And they have to teach hypothermia, what to do with lightning, all that kind of stuff. They had to piggyback a backpack.
Oh my God.
And so...
It was me and Nate and Dave.
Wow. So tell me how that works, because I can never think it.
Well, you...
So some kid somebody have a backpack.
Somebody leaves his pack here and carries... The kid that can't carry his pack carries his pack up here.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And then someone's up there waiting. He leaves his pack there. I go back and get my pack, and I catch up. Wow. David goes, leaves his pack there, and takes him to the next place, and then we do the whole thing all
so
over.
So each
again.
Of you went forward and back and forward.
Right. Yeah.
So you're doing twice the trip.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Wow.
Yep. And David, unfortunately, he ended up with the heaviest pack twice.
Oh my God!
Just about died, but he did it.
Yeah, he was a trumpet player, and he was in the plays.
He's a good kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's always something. We had one girl 1 year, and this was up at Katahdin.
Yeah.
And never been hiking, didn't know anything about the woods,
yeah.
So on and so forth. And we get to Roaring Brook to head up the mountain. And I said, okay, everybody put the bug dope on. I'm not putting that stuff on. Oh, no. I said, well, you're going to want to because there's bugs in the wood. Oh, no, I'm not putting it on. I said, give me your hand. She put her hand out, and I just squished a whole bunch of it in her hand. I said, put it on. You know, she wasn't going to touch it because it was squishy. Yeah, you know what? The black flies would have killed her.
Yeah.
Oh, it was funny, some of those. I had a girl.
Yeah.
I always walked last in the trail to
was
take care
sweet.
Of.
You heard the word
yep.
sweet?
Broken,
yep. yeah.
broken shoelaces or something like that. I come upon this girl sitting on a rock.
Is that Jennifer?
I don't know who it was. And I said, okay, let's go. She said, I'm not going anywhere. I said, really? Nope, I'm staying right here. I said, well, you know, the bus doesn't come by here to take you home. I don't care, I'm staying right here. I said, okay, I'll let your mother know where you are. And I turned around and started walking away. Mr. Ewing, what? She says, wait a minute. I didn't try to talk her out of it. I just said, fine, stay right where the heck you are. I don't really care. And she realized that she wasn't going to do that. So, that was funny.
Wow.
And then we had a kid with contacts, and the contacts steamed up.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
That was Jennifer Gray. That was in Nate's class.
When this is when you were hiking Katahdin?
No, that's when we were taking kids,
oh.
kids on the trail. She
oh,
was
cool.
she, two so days out, she was going to sit
We've done
right
the
there.
Appalachian Trail in Maine
yeah.
so often that we've done the whole thing five times.
Wow.
Yeah, not all at once, but in sections. We never did the whole
thing. The longest trip we ever took was 7 days long.
That was the best trip, too.
Oh, it was the best trip. We had almost all cross-country runners with us. And I was last because I was the slowest. And everybody gauged their physical fitness on me.
Yeah.
As long...
Well, that's where I got my nickname.
The Wiz.
Yeah, the Wiz. For Wizard.
Yeah.
Because the second day out, and we had gorgeous, gorgeous weather. It was just perfect. The second day out, somebody said about the weather. I said... It's going to be good the rest of the trip, I said, but about 1:30 the day we get to where we're going, it's going to start raining. Oh, sure. I mean, it was just total BS on my part. We get there, and we're waiting for the rides to show up. 1:30, it starts raining. People looked at me and sort of backed off, you know. So that's,
but he's a pilot.
I'm the Wizard.
So he knows so much about weather because he used to fly small planes.
Yeah.
You know, like 2 people, 4 people?
Really?
Well, 2 people mostly.
Is it so just small?
Yeah, just 1-seaters, you know, single engine, high wing airplane.
Yeah.
2-seaters. Someone could always go.
2 seats, yeah, 2 seats, but there's also 4-seaters. I could fly one of them too, but I never had the opportunity to fly one because we didn't have one. I go on to a flying club in Brewer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, Greg Hanscom, he used to fly. And I guess for the longest time he used to fly, and then they settled down and had Charlie, and then so I guess
he kind of
stopped. Yeah, but
yeah, it's an expensive thing.
Yeah,
it really is.
Well, doesn't his uncle fly?
Who's his uncle? Oh, Harry.
Yeah.
Harry has a float plane.
Yeah.
Up at Sweat's Pond.
When I was with Uncle Bob running that Woods and Water Survival Program, we slept in the woods and made our own houses out of fir boughs.
Yeah.
Is that what you do?
Normally, we but normally we'll just bring in, like, our tents or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Harry flew in to the pond.
Yeah, he had a float plane.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
carries a character.
I'm worried about your mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's probably just almost done her book or something. Yeah. Well, thanks for telling me your story. That's awesome.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's really awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I have to tell Matthew I'm pretty impressed because to me this was like a mastermind.
Yeah.
Because it's like a perfect Eagle Scout project where other scouts have to do...
Yeah, branch out.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I mean, look at the stories. You never would have really talked to me ever at school, ever met Bob, right?
Right.
And you wouldn't know. So for you to go out and find other people that love Maine is pretty...
To be honest, there's not many people who do anymore. And like a lot of kids say at like school, they're always like, no, I'm getting out of Maine as soon as I can. And it's really too bad. But
it is. My son was one of them, but he came back.
Yeah. You'll miss it once you leave.
Well, his wife is very oriented. And she wanted to come back. He had a chance to get his job. Well, he never really left Maine, did he, to work?
No.
He went to Bentley.
Yeah, he was in Portland for a while.
Yeah, he's in Portland.
Yeah. He's up here now.
So. But he went to school in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And, oh, here's another story. My son was a president of one of the fraternities at Bentley College for 2 years. And he started a tradition. We have an old-fashioned camp at Beach Hill.
Yeah.
And it's like 24 feet away from the water.
Oh, yeah.
One big room, one bedroom, one little kitchen. It's
and a bunkhouse.
And an outhouse.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it has a flush that works sometimes. Anyways, he invites 10 to 15 of his fraternity brothers from the cities to come. And they make T-shirts.
Oh.
And they can't wait to come because they've never been so far in the woods
before. This is wilderness for them. And they are here every year. They come just like clockwork, and they just have themselves a ball for a week.
It's 12 years they've been doing it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same group of friends?
Same group of friends.
Yep.
Most of them are married now. Most of them are parents.
Yep.
And these guys come
They wouldn't miss coming up here for
And they sleep all over the floor. They sleep. Yeah. And then we take the tent that I put up back.
Yeah.
And we put it down there, and they sleep six in there.
Wow.
And his friends from Bentley Business College.
Yeah.
Have you heard it? Boston? It's in Boston.
Yeah.
There's a lot of legacies of upper class, very rich people.
Yeah.
So when his friends down there took him out, they'd get their parents' boat, put $3,000 worth of gas in the boat, and go fishing. And that was like you and I going for a walk in the woods. That's how rich they were and how disconnected from what we call the earth.
Yeah.
So they really had never been anywhere where it was quiet to hear the loons you know, sit there with it.
And that's just stuff that we hear just about every day. And
And they have a campfire.
Yeah.
And they sit around the campfire and tell stories.
Yeah. Wow.
But they wouldn't miss it for all the world.
No. They travel, some of them travel from the Midwest now.
Yeah, they're spread out all over the country now.
And they save money so they can come.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they all send Nate money.
That's up at Beach Hill?
And he buys the food for all of them. They just he just figures out what the bill is, and they all kick in.
That camp's been there since 1951?
Yeah. 55?
I thought
I was two.
Where at on Beach Hill is that?
Do you know where the general store is? What do you know about Beach Hill?
Well, my friend has a camp out there. It's in, I'm trying to remember, it's one of the bigger coves. It's
Schoolhouse Cove?
Schoolhouse Cove, yes.
Schoolhouse Cove.
Do you ever see the outlet where the Channel Rock is? The rock is in the middle of the water, and there's a windsock for planes on it.
You're headed down the lake.
Yeah, if you stand at his camp,
you're
going to look to the left.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're way down the pond at the left.
We're almost to the end of the lake.
Yes.
Camp Road.
Yeah, that's what they.
What's the friend's name?
There, it's well, it's actually his grandparents' camp, but it'd be Glenn and Lorraine Tarr.
Tarr?
Yeah.
Isn't Schoolhouse Cove up where Gladys' camp is?
No.
No? Where is it?
Schoolhouse Cove is where Penny rented a camp.
Okay, all right. So they're not, that wouldn't be so that far from us.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's like, there's like the cove right here, and then there's like a beach over here. A big sand beach.
Yep. Okay, yeah.
It's right close.
Yeah, that's
is there a big, big rock between you and between the cove you're in and the big beach?
No,
I don't think so.
I just thought it might be closer to my cousins. No, I'm not thinking about that.
Okay. Oh, no.
Have you been to Chunkport?
Yeah, I have. That's amazing.
I just jumped off it for the first time.
Really?
The picture's on my desk at school.
Yeah, she lost her mind for a few seconds and jumped off the rock.
Yeah, it was a big attraction for everyone doing that kind
of
stuff.
But my oldest granddaughter will jump out of the boat in the middle of the lake now.
Yeah, she's
she's only five.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good to get him into.
And my son, so the impact of all of this wilderness is my son could have easily been a city boy.
Yeah.
And, but he learned to love the outside much more than I thought. He's taking his kids out tracking the squirrels after a snowstorm and the deer, and they are going on the power line.
Oh, cool.
And he's the kid that stopped in the middle of an Appalachian Trail and said, to you something about the green.
We were on a trail that climbed up over a mountain or a hill, and at the top there was a cedar bog, a high altitude cedar bog. And he said to me, God, he said, that moss was so green I couldn't believe it. And I'm thinking, this is Nate talking like this? Holy cow. Anyway, he's very in tune with nature. Always was, obviously.
Yeah.
But never got the chance to let it out. So
It's really awesome. So
big impact on the family coming up here. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And Josh and Matthew go ice fishing.
Nate goes ice fishing. Yeah, Nate goes fishing down at Beach Hill.
Wow.
And Alex just loved it. She's still too busy working right now.
Well, yeah, she's got a big job. Mm-hmm.